setting of the first public disability cultural center in the literal country. It is a big day. Yes. All right. Still some issues with the captions. If you need captions, dcc.page/captions will get you stream text. We also have them up here. That's working. But if you're outside, there are some seats out here on our patio. There is no wind. It's very lovely. And there's the coziest chairs ever available right there. Mad respect to anybody who goes into them. All right. So thank you for being here. My name is Dagny Brown. I am a co-director of the San Francisco Disability Cultural Center with Mika, Kie Weisbach, and Emily Badix. We are a proud program of the LC and Lily Cox Haven of Hope, which is helmed by Dr. Darcel Lahr in honor of her parents, Lily and LC. Yes, please. Yes, please. Legacy, y'all. We have our incredible team here. We have Sandra Bernal, who is our information and data and contract manager, and Damani Harden, who is on IT, who makes all the things possible. We have some amazing volunteers, Valentin Davis and Jeremy Lahr, and I'm so terrified I'm forgetting someone. Oh, Liz Henry. Liz Henry, who you can thank for the adjustable tables, the cane hooks, and being our fairy godparent, who just showed up yesterday and the day before and really did some important work. So thank you, and I'm going to pass it on to another co-director.
Thanks so much for being here, everyone. I want to take a moment first to extend our deepest gratitude for the sponsors of our grand opening. They are the WIF Foundation, the Disability Visibility Project, Ray Lanzarotti, and of course, a huge thank you to the City of San Francisco's Human Service Agency's Department of Disability and Aging Services. We just feel so lucky to work with some really incredible people. In particular, our project manager, Maceo, wherever you are, thank you so much. We're so grateful for your continuous support, and we really know we wouldn't be here today without it. So thanks to all of you who are committed to making this dream real.
Thank you all. My name is Emily Badix. I am the third and final, we're done, co-director. So I am so grateful to be here with you all. I am so grateful for this space. We want to acknowledge that this is a space on unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone people. We look forward to collaborations and connecting with all sorts of different organizations throughout the city of San Francisco. And one of those will be our indigenous communities here, where there is many disability connections to be had. So I am so struck by where I am standing right now. I have view, just barely, of where the 504 protests happened. So in 1977, 150 disabled people and their allies, some of them I can see right here in this room, occupied a building for 26 days as the longest unarmed building, unarmed occupation of a federal building by any group to date. And it ended in victory. And at the end of that protest, some of the people didn't want to leave, because as hard as it was to occupy a federal building, they had made an accessible space. They had made a space where disabled people's expertise was valued, and where all of the ideas and creativity that disabled people were bringing were reigning free. And here we are, fast forward, across the way and right next to City Hall in a space where the city of San Francisco recognized the importance of doing so much more than just compliance and having a place for belonging and play and creativity and networking and so much more. So we are so honored to be part of this day, to be able to celebrate how far we've come and for big, big dreaming, because we have farther to go. This is going to be a place where people are going to come, restore themselves, recharge your batteries. And I mean that in both ways, because we have so many power outlets. So we are just so grateful to all the people and the dreaming and all of the focus groups and community leaders and people who've been involved in this process to make sure that this is the product of big disability dreaming that got us to this moment and will take us to the next one, because it's just starting today. With that, I am very excited to introduce Mayor Daniel Lurie's Policy Chief Kunal Modi, who's with us today and going to share some remarks. Thank you so much again for enforcing that the policies just...
Well, thank you so much. I am incredibly honored to be with you today for the opening of this center. This marks just an incredible milestone for our city. It was said before, but it's worth saying again, this is the nation's very first publicly funded disability cultural center. Saying that makes me so proud to be a San Franciscan today. This center would not have been possible without the incredible leadership of Kelly Dierman, Director Kelly Dierman, and her entire team at the Department of Disability and Aging Services. So thank you, and thank you to the co-directors of this center for bringing the vision to life with so much courage and vision and love. San Francisco has been a leader in advancing disability rights and the disability justice movement. It's only appropriate that our city is the home to the first publicly funded facility of its kind. It's such an honor to open this, especially during Disability Pride Month and on the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. As was said, after all, San Francisco was the birthplace of this movement, and we're here to honor the legacy of those from the 504 protest and everything that led to where we are today. There's a direct line from there to here, and we honor their legacy at this moment. This center is a direct connection to the history of the place that we stand in. And in this spirit, this center will help cultivate further leadership and community in the movement for full accessibility and equality. That is our goal. What better home for the center than this newly opened, accessibly designed residential building, which is both providing affordable housing and accessible apartments for people with and without disabilities. It's an incredible space. If you haven't had a chance to tour it yet, I highly encourage it. I think it's only fitting. It's across from City Hall and is a showcase for the rest of the world of what's possible when communities come together. We're proud that the center is a first of its kind, hosting virtual and in-person community service programming and educational, artistic, and social networking opportunities focused on serving individuals with disabilities and their allies who live or work in San Francisco. We're proud that the center will play an important role in social connection for members of the community, especially during this time and place in our country. This is more important than ever right now. By providing these opportunities for the community, the center brings diverse people together with disabilities to access the resources, advance social justice, and foster disability culture and pride. This is truly a beautiful and special community, and we are so proud that we have a center now, hopefully the first of many, befitting of the work and love and partnership that this community has advanced for so many years. So on behalf of the city, on behalf of Mayor Lurie, just thank you for everything you've done to make this reality. We're so grateful to be here celebrating with you all.
Thank you so much. And I also want to give a big welcome to all the people who are joining us virtually today. This center is created to be hybrid. So whether it's your best day, a bad day, any day, we have events and community that are building virtually and in person. Let's see. So next, I am delighted to introduce Supervisor Rafael Mendelman. He is the president of the Board of Supervisors and been just so supportive. So thank you.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. There are some days when San Francisco drives me absolutely nuts. And there are some days when San Francisco makes me so, so proud. And today is one of those days. And only in San Francisco for now, just for this moment. But how amazing to have this space. I will repeat for the third time, the first municipally funded disability cultural center in the world. I also, and this is part of a week where we, as a city, have been acknowledging the accomplishments of the disability community, the 35th anniversary of the ADA. We have a unanimous co-sponsorship from Supervisor Mahmood and all of my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors commemorating the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And on Tuesday, we had the opportunity to acknowledge and celebrate some great San Franciscans who have made significant contributions in the struggle for rights for folks with disabilities. Alice Wong, I think we'll be hearing from in a bit. Sasha Bittner is back there, who everybody is on Team Sasha. And Debbie Kaplan. And it clicked for me. I mean, I told Debbie's story a little bit on Tuesday, but I didn't realize, but I think I'm gathering now, you were part of the 1977 sit-in. You were there. And how amazing to have the sheroes amongst us who so dramatically changed the prospects for people with disabilities in this country. And how how amazing for, you know, those of us who followed to get to know you and see the fruits of your labor. So thank you, Debbie, and everybody who has worked so hard over so many decades to get us the progress we've got, which is not enough. But I just want to, of course, again, acknowledge Kelly and Eli, but I also want to acknowledge some of the folks, Shireen McSpadden, who was the director of, the department had a different name at that time, I think. I never remember what the name is now, but same name. Okay, so Shireen McSpadden, thank you for your leadership and continued work with the city. This was when you were in 2017, I think was the beginnings of the idea for this, when you were leading DOS. And then Nicole Bon, formerly the director of the Mayor's Office of Disability, and I walked in, and I love Debbie, and I love Eli. I miss you, Nicole. But I asked, you know, how does this feel? And she said, I think I'm going to cry. It's wonderful to see visions like this come true in our lifetimes. So there's so many giants here. I cannot acknowledge everybody, but I just a giant pat on the back for San Francisco and the folks who got us here. Good job. And we got to do a lot more.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Well, we are just so delighted that the DCC's supervisor is a part of our beautiful community. Supervisor, thank you for publicly embracing your neurodivergent identity. So please join me in welcoming Supervisor Mahmood.
As my neurodivergent friends say, it's neurospicy, not neurodivergent. Really a pleasure to be here today in District 5, which I represent as well, and honored, as we've said many times today, to have this be the first in the nation right in the heart here. And I say that as a member of the neurodivergent community. Oftentimes people say that our differences are weaknesses. But I've often said that the differences that we have are what makes us stronger and actually even better in many ways. And there's no better representation of that than this building. when I first toured the Kelsey as well as the Disability Cultural Center, I saw how that thought about how to accommodate accessibility made for a much more powerful experience. You have elevators where you don't have to push a button, you can kick the button. I was like, I want that in my elevator. You have sinks that move up and down. You have cabinets that are accessible and move up and down. I live a couple blocks away, but I wish I lived here. This is better than any apartment that I've seen in San Francisco. And so we see that through celebrating our diversity and celebrating what's possible because of the community and building for accessibility. Building for accessibility is not building for weakness. Building for accessibility is building for strength and for building a type of building that should be in every building in San Francisco. There is no reason that buildings should not be designed as they are here at the Kelsey. So I just wanted to acknowledge the great work, the Kelsey, Mercy Housing, the Disability Cultural Center, the departments here with Eli and Kelly as well. Really appreciate this. Took a community to get done. This took a lot of people working together, and obviously inspired by so many of the activists and community members who are here today, as well as Alice Wong, who led a lot of the movement here. And so really excited and an honor to be here at the grand opening. I came just a couple months ago, and it was up at 40% capacity, and I hear that it's going to be near full by the end of the year. So really excited to be part of this moment in history, and thank you all for being here in celebration as well.
It is a great honor, privilege, and I'm very excited to introduce Kelly Dierman, who is the director of the Department of Disability and Aging Services. DOS has not just been a funder or a partner, but a true champion of this work and has approached everything with so much care. So thank you so much, Kelly, and here's the mic.
Well, hi, everybody. When I left the house this morning, I turned to my dad and I said, today's going to be a good day. So, and today is a great day. And it's such a big day for us to celebrate. And I'm so happy to be here and see you all. This has been a long time coming, and now we are here. And so we are so thrilled to see this incredibly important center open for the community. It was rooted in decades of disability rights and cultural organizing in the Bay Area. The center grew from a collaboration between community members, disability justice advocates, our Department of Disability and Aging Services, the then Mayor's Office on Disability, the Longmore Institute, and Haven of Hope. From the beginning, our department believed in the power of this center and its potential. The vision was to build a space designed by the disability community for the community and our allies. And I think we've done that. That's fantastic. It's a space to celebrate disabilities, to come together and to learn from each other, a space to share our experiences and expertise and to lift each other up. The center is a groundbreaking space that will benefit the community and one that will ultimately enhance our entire city. So we are so proud that this center will serve as a home base for the community, and we hope as a beacon of learning, sharing, and creating community. We hope the center helps open a new chapter in history for the disability rights movement. So there are a number of people that I want to thank, but I do want to start with Shireen McSpadden. First of all, because of Shireen, I have this job. So thank you. But Shireen's belief in the vision for this center kickstarted the whole project. The next person I want to thank, you know who you are, along with Shireen, of course, we want to thank Nicole Bonn, our former director of the Mayor's Office on Disability, because she shared this vision and advocated for this project from the beginning. So I got the pleasure of coming in 4 years ago and just being able to move it along, where these two were the like visionaries who really said, we got to do something, and we did. So I also want to thank Cindy Kaufman, who is my deputy director at DOS, as well as Eli Gelardin, our new director of our Office on Disability and Accessibility. And I also need to give a shout out to Maceo, who's been working really hard in the background doing the project management. So I'm almost done, promise. I just want to acknowledge a few people who are here. Like, this is a fantastic turnout. I want to thank the DOS commissioners who are here. Thank you so much for showing up. The DOS advisory council members who are here, thank you for showing up. I also saw that Corey, hold on, McCoy Powell, thank you, is here from... Speaker Pelosi, God, thank you, from Speaker Pelosi's office. So thank you so much. Love you more. But I think it's really big. This speaks to how fantastic and important this is. So, but this space would not have been possible without the activists and advocates that put in the hard work to advance equity. And some of you we are honored to have with us here today, and we thank you for your continued advocacy. We hope this space can serve as so much more than just a center. It's a hub of education, celebration, and ultimately as a bright light for other disabled communities around the nation. The vision for our inclusive space for the disability community and our allies is now a reality. Congratulations to all of you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Director Dierman. We are so, so grateful. We have 125 people online, which is so exciting, just knowing that this room is even bigger with how many people are with us today. I am so excited to next pass the mic to Eli Delardine, who you've heard many shout-outs for already. About 6 months ago, the role was open, and we were getting pretty nervous because we had worked so closely with Nicole. We knew how exciting the collaboration was going to be, and I just let out the biggest sigh when I heard that didn't sound good. The biggest sigh of relief when I heard it was Eli. It was such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So formerly the Mayor's Office on Disability is now the Office of Disability and Access. So we all got to adjust. San Francisco loves our acronyms. So I am proud to invite the Director of ODA to come on up.
So good to be here. And I am breathing a sigh of relief too. That you are relieved, that everyone is relieved. Disabled joy. Growing up, you know, from birth with genetic dwarfism, being a proud disabled parent of proud disabled children, working my entire career in disability rights, obviously only 6 months here at the city. But this is the disabled future. This is the disabled joy that I've wanted for me, for my family, for my community. To see its manifestation in the Disability Cultural Center, in the Kelsey, as has been mentioned, a fully universally designed space, in a fully universally designed housing project, is transformative. This is what we need in our community and across the country, and we have proof of concept. Disability rights has always known the values of social connection, of social drivers of health, of being in community, and how that allows our community to thrive. And I feel like we are on that trajectory. It is with great pleasure that I get to be at the tail end of the creation of the Disability Cultural Center. And I just want to sincerely acknowledge my predecessor, Nicole Bond. I know you've gotten a few more kudos, but I'm going to give you more. You really have set and the vision with Shireen, with DOS, to create this space. And I just am so honored to carry that vision forward as we, the City of San Francisco, model accessibility, inclusiveness, and as this time, in this place, we are going to ensure that we, the City of San Francisco, welcome everyone, all those with disabilities, aging into disability, living with disability, acquiring disability into our community, and we're doing it today. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Eli. I'm looking forward to lots more collaboration in the future. Well, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to introduce Alice Wong, founder and director of the Disability Visibility Project and MacArthur Genius Award winner. Alice has been supporting the DCC since it just was still in its baby idea stages, and it's such a privilege to welcome her to share some wisdom on disability culture, which in this these times is so necessary. So thank you, Alice.
Everyone, it's a delight to be here at the grand opening of the San Francisco Disability Cultural Center. My name is Alice Wong, and I am a proud resident of District 6, just a few blocks from here. I took Mooney to this event today, and I never take for granted how easy it is for me to get around the city as a wheelchair user. And disabled people did that. Whenever you see ramps or an accessible door opener, remember disabled people did that and more. Several years ago, I had the privilege of being on the steering committee that helped shape the goals of the center. In addition to a survey of members of the disability community, we dreamed big radical dreams of what this center can and should be and amassed a number of recommendations. I recall some priorities we came up with are access, joy, and care. And fast forward to today, where we have this gorgeous space with access built into the very bones of the building. As a high-risk individual, I appreciate the design features such as a sliding glass wall that provides ventilation and indoor/outdoor access that gives people different options to participate. Thanks to the leadership of co-directors Emily, Mika, and Dagny, and their advisory committee, they planned an amazing series of online programs last year, and will continue to have even more exciting hybrid and in-person programming. Partnering with a diverse disability community in the Bay Area, the center will uplift and amplify the work of disabled artists and welcome all members of the community to participate, whether they use the word disabled or not, to describe themselves. This center is the future, and I know that their potential is limitless. It should be noted how significant this center is, the only city-funded disability cultural center open to the public in the country. Let that sink in and imagine the amount of work that took place behind the scenes that made this a reality. Once again, the city and county of San Francisco is a leader when it comes to partnerships with the disability community. This center signals to the country that disabled people have a history, culture, language of their own, and that we deserve a place for us to gather, organize, celebrate, and just be together. No such place exists like this in the city, and hopefully this model will spread to other cities that desperately need it. Social isolation and inaccessibility in rural areas, for example, continue to make disabled people feel alone and disconnected. While I believe in celebrating this moment, I also feel conflicted because of the many threats disabled people are facing right now. The roof is on fire and the rent is too damn high. To the dignitaries here cutting a ribbon today, please don't think of this as a one-off performative activity for a photo op to show how you quote-unquote care about the disability community. Instead, I urge you to think of this as an opportunity to actually commit to show up for us in good times like these and challenging times ahead. Since the passage of H.R. 1, also known as the Big Beautiful Bill, which I regard as the Big Terrorizing Bill, disabled people in this city are struggling, enraged, and afraid, as especially unhoused and undocumented people who are disproportionately disabled. We need you to seriously listen and lead with us to resist these very clear ableist eugenic policies that will cause preventable death and suffering. We live in a city with such wide economic inequality, and the gap only grows where budget cuts hit poor people worse, and revitalization is more important than treating people humanely and in the community rather than being incarcerated. Much of my work as a storyteller is to make us visible, not to humanize us, because we are already human whether you acknowledge it or not. Another part of my work is to make ableism visible, to show the public how ableism is structural in our society that believes disability is less than. As the creator of the Disability Visibility Project, I believe visibility is part of resistance against all the forces that want to erase us. I try my best to show the nuances, the messiness, the realness, the beauty of disabled people in a world that thinks we are all takers who get special treatment when they are actually rights and accommodations under the law. Our narratives matter, and our inherent wisdom can be of value to everyone if only people listen and believe us. You all should know how blessed we are to be in the Bay Area, the site of the independent living movement and decades of disability history and culture. Just a few blocks from here was the site of the 504 sit-ins, the longest occupation of a federal building in the fight for disability rights in 1977. Resisting the federal government is nothing new. We should learn from the past and harness people power today. Right now we need community more than ever. It was a lifeline that saved me decades ago when I was moved here starved for connection. The rights enshrined by the ADA that made us a protected class is something that must be defended in this anti-intellectual culture that is dismantling democracy, diversity, equity, inclusion right before our eyes. I urge everyone to not look away, to demand accountability from our elected officials, and to be in solidarity with our communities. The creation of culture is necessary in speaking truth to power. The San Francisco Disability Cultural Center is a safe and accessible space for us to just be together, which is a powerful thing. As we celebrate the anniversary of the ADA this July, let's not forget how hard won these rights have been and how easily they can be taken away if we don't fight for them with every fiber of our being, because it's not just for ourselves, it's for everyone. I hope the city will continue to support the center in the future. I know I will be involved in the center and support it as much as possible. Thank you, and free Palestine.
Thank you, Alice. You are, as always, incredible. I am so excited to introduce Dr. Darcel Lahr, who is the executive director of Haven of Hope, the home for the DCC. Dr. Lahr, no one gets me emotional like Dr. Lahr, because I love her so much. She was a mechanical engineer to become an executive MBA to teach business and policy at Mills College and at UC Berkeley, and she teaches it in such a way that we see how the world can be transformed from every community as long as we center those who are traditionally marginalized. And I could go on and on, but we call her Renita, which means queen, and I'm so excited that y'all get to hear from her.
Good afternoon, everybody. And thank you all again for joining us in celebrating this wonderful milestone in our journey. I'd like to close us out by underscoring our why. The world we are envisioning is one in which every individual is treated with respect and dignity, regardless of their social, economic, or personal circumstance. A world where we honor the knowledge and the unique lived experience of everyone that we encounter. A world in which every individual finds equitable opportunity and the generous support that they need to cope and heal and flourish to their fullest potential. Throughout all of our work at LC and Lily Cox Haven of Hope, including through our beloved Disability Cultural Center, we're working in unity to make that world a reality. Through my decades of social impact work within our most vulnerable communities, I've witnessed and experienced the devastation that individuals and communities can suffer when society chooses to stigmatize certain bodies and certain minds as worthless, dispensable, and burdens on society. And how those stigmas have been used to justify the systems of inequity that have proliferated throughout our history. In fact, those systems of inequity have become the default of our society. And they sustain themselves simply through our institutions functioning exactly as they are intended. Yet even in the midst of this sustained oppression, I have also witnessed the extraordinary transformation that can occur when people come together in shared purpose and courageous unity. That is the purpose that grounds our work here at the DCC. We are working together to not only call attention to the inequities that have come to define our society, but in fact to counter those systems that normalize, legitimize, regenerate, and perpetuate those inequities. Here at the DCC, we're fostering this work by unapologetically redefining normal and opening this safe, welcoming space for healing, hope, and courageous unity. Elsie and Lily Cox, my deceased parents, taught me that true leadership means uplifting others as you rise. With your support, we are building a future where every person has the opportunity to rise, to lead, and to transform lives in courageous unity. Thank you all again, and welcome home.
All right, folks, it's time for the thing you obviously came for, watching the ribbon get cut, so we can enter the space. So we would like to invite Darcelle, you're coming back up. We are having Dennis Billups, one of the 504 protesters, is on our advisory council. Come on up. We have Liz Henry, one of our advisory council members. Come on up. We have Kelly Dearman coming back to the stage. And Kunal Modi, please come on back. Give us a moment while we set up our photograph.
Right, just line up right over there.
In an order, or
is there an order? Yeah, whoever you want to stand next to.
Hey, Dennis. Let's get this. Can you move so I'll get that, that spot?
You can tell because I'm way down here.
Dan? There. That can go. And yes, I have all the...
Is that right?
All right. Scissors. They're very threateningly large. Scissors.
More into the middle?
Yes.
If you scoot to your left,
these.
Dennis.
Okay.
You got a bump in yourself. Oh, you picked the lefty scissors.
Yeah.
They thought about it.
Yeah. I got big scissors. I'm telling you what else I thought about.
All right. Are you good to help Dennis, or should I get in there to offer some access support? All right, we have a large green ribbon. I'm going to offer audio description. We have a large green ribbon. It's also going to subtly tell them what to do, and they're all approaching the green ribbon now.
Okay, that's okay.
Got enough space? All right, everybody's getting set up. The green satiny ribbon has all six. And we're ready to go. They are cutting. Woo! And just like that, we are officially open for business. You're good.
I got a mic here.
They're done.
Make sure this is.
All right, y'all, we have lunch from Peaches Patties, which is an incredible caterer that is in our community. Just give us a minute.